This is the Healthy Living Podcast on OWL Radio, a community service of the Low Vision Resource Center. OWL Radio broadcasts to homes in San Antonio, the Hill Country, San Antonio Methodist Hospitals, and via online streaming and smartphone access. You can also ask your Alexa device to enable and play OWL Radio. Welcome. I am Martha Attee. Today's program is being recorded in January of 2023, and our topics will be feet and knees. Our first article is from the New York Times. This was updated May 5th, 2022. The title is "The Pandemic Has Been Hard on Our Feet. Here's What's Plaguing Them and How to Avoid It," by Mara Altman. In March of 2020, Krista Foss began working from home. As she sidled up to her desk, the 53-year-old sales associate for a computer distributor put aside her usual sneakers. She found herself doing laundry, playing with her cat, and even visiting her neighbors without putting on shoes. She said, "I was barefoot all the time." A few months into working from home, she began to feel a twinge of heel pain, but disregarded it until last month when it got too intense to ignore. Even as she lay in bed, the throbbing wouldn't stop. She remembered thinking, "This is ridiculous. I didn't even know how I was going to fall asleep." The pandemic, in the beginning, coincided with a steep decline in foot trauma, said Dr. Kay Lee, chief of podiatric foot and ankle surgery at UCLA's Santa Monica Medical Center. But his practice quickly repopulated with patients like Ms. Foss, who complained about foot pain. "I was like, aha, so this is the effect of the pandemic on feet across the country," he said. There is no hard data on the increase in foot pain, but Dr. James Christina, the executive director of the American Podiatric Medical Association, said it's been a clear trend for many of his 12,000 members. Members like Dr. Rock Positano, the co-director of the non-surgical foot and ankle service at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York, who has seen foot pain increase so much, 20 to 30%, that he called the phenomenon pandemic foot. Now that spring is here, mandates are relaxing and people are eager to get their pre-pandemic bodies and hobbies back, they are hitting the pavement, said Dr. James Hanna, a podiatrist and president of the New York State Podiatric Medical Association. Many are exacerbating existing foot injuries or creating new ones. He said, "People thought they could just return to where they left off or try something they hadn't tried in a couple of years, but their feet aren't prepared for what their bodies want to do." By instituting a few simple measures, Dr. Hanna assures owners of achy feet everywhere that foot pain can be alleviated as well as prevented. Overuse injuries. Some of the most common foot ailments occur simply because the foot is under increased strain during the pandemic. Perhaps you opted to walk long distances instead of using public transportation, or perhaps you went barefoot at home. People don't realize how much mileage they put on walking and standing in their own homes, said Dr. Positano. Ms. Foss was diagnosed with one such overuse injury, plantar fasciitis, where a ligament under the foot that supports the arch becomes inflamed. Often, felt as pain in the heel. I knew what it was because my brother, sister, and one of my best friends all got it recently too, she said. Metatarsalgia is another overuse injury, similarly caused by inflammation, but in the toe joints, which causes pain on the ball of the foot. For those starting ambitious running routines right out of the pandemic gates, Achilles tendonitis has been a common diagnosis. The tendon connects the calf to the heel bone, and with a sudden increase in use, it can become irritated and swell. These injuries can impact more than foot health. If they are not addressed, they can go, quote, up the chain and cause knee, hip, and back pain. People think they are falling apart, but they are not. Dr. Positano said they're overusing their feet. Fragile feet. Overuse injuries aren't the only reasons people have been feeling foot pain lately. Dr. Perea, a Maryland-based podiatric surgeon, has also seen an uptick in toe and foot fractures. Some are caused, she said, by accidentally kicking furniture, a result of being home and barefoot more often, and then tripping and falling awkwardly over pets. You see one, then you see two, then three, and then four, she said, of such pet-related fractures. And then you start thinking, wait, there's definitely a connection here. Spreading toes. Meanwhile, Dr. Judith Baumauer, an orthopedic surgeon at University of Rochester Medical Center, has been removing more bunions, which are bony protrusions at the base of the big toe. Without supportive shoes, the foot can splay. Actually, it can widen, and the anatomical structures can change. Among other issues, this can aggravate bunions. They let their feet do whatever they wanted, Dr. Baumauer said, and now that they have to go back to work, their feet are rebelling. More weight on the foot. Dr. Baumauer said that pandemic weight gain may also be to blame for the rise in foot discomfort. She explained that even an extra couple of pounds makes an impact. It's literally just physics, she said, explaining that the foot takes on four times the force of our body weight when walking. Losing or gaining 5 pounds would be a change of 20 pounds to their ankle or foot, she said. Too much, too fast. Jacqueline Dilla, an associate professor of clinical physical therapy at the University of Southern California, said one of the biggest triggers is people doing too much too fast. Many of us have undergone atrophy and bone density loss from inactivity without noticing it, making it harder to stabilize ourselves on uneven surfaces. Smaller injuries are causing more catastrophic problems. I have patients who look like they were in a car accident, she said, but they just rolled their ankle during a hike. Even young children, after a year or two doing virtual school, are experiencing issues as they jump headlong into sports. You have a kid sitting at home every day for a year, going straight into cross-country practice, said the doctor. So, how do you help your feet? Podiatrists say one of the fixes for foot pain can be quite simple. Wear supportive footwear. That means a semi-rigid sole, a spacious toe box, and a small heel lift. Get properly fitted at a shoe store, and if you don't want street shoes in your home, get a pair specifically for indoor use. If using older shoes, be sure that the tread is not too warm, as those may have degraded too much to offer substantial support. Insoles can be added for additional arch support. Dr. Dilla said it's also essential to prepare our bodies for renewed activity by strengthening them first. This means exercising the feet with toe curls and foot doming. That's a crunch. There's a crunch for the stomach, said Dr. Dilla, and doming is the crunch for the foot. Foot doming is when you pull your toes and arch your foot at the same time. Dr. Hanna said the best advice may be to start slow. If you're going to start walking, do moderate pace at short distance. If you tolerate that well, maybe go at a faster pace for a longer distance. Podiatrists also say stretching is crucial to prevent and treat unhappy feet. A proper warm-up, Dr. Hanna said, I cannot emphasize this enough. In the morning, even before you go to the bathroom, Dr. Hanna recommends flexing your foot by pulling your toes up towards your body. Then, pretend your toes are a pencil and write out the alphabet. If you do that, you will activate all the joints and be much less likely to injure yourself. Even though the calf seems distant from the bottom of the foot, stretching it plays an essential role in pain-free walking. When your calf and Achilles heels are tight, Dr. Lee said, it creates a lot more stress to all your foot joints. He suggests getting into a lunge position with one foot in front of the other, your hands up against the wall, and your feet flat on the ground. You should feel the stretch in the calf of the back leg. He suggests doing this several times throughout the day. Massaging the arch area can also prevent injury by keeping the bottom of our feet limber. Dr. Lee advises grabbing a tennis ball or golf ball while sitting at a desk or while watching TV. Roll your foot over the ball and massage that into the area to loosen up those fibers. However, if you're having heel pain, get your foot checked by a doctor before stretching. In some cases, Dr. Positano said, there can be undiagnosed tears in the plantar fascia that stretching can worsen. If you are experiencing any persistent foot pain, make an appointment with a podiatrist. There are many simple ways doctors can relieve pain and prevent chronic issues from developing. If you're in discomfort, seek care. And our next article for the Healthy Living Podcast, titled A New Study, points to a surprisingly simple way to ward off knee pain. This is also from the New York Times, published June 2022 by Danny Bloom. A promising new study suggests that walking could ward off knee pain for people with osteoarthritis. Researchers surveyed over 1,000 people ages 50 or older with knee osteoarthritis, the most common type of arthritis in the United States. Some had persistent pain at the outset, while others did not. After 4 years, those who started off without frequent knee pain and walked for exercise at least 10 times were less likely to experience new regular bouts of stiffness or aches around their knees and had less structural damage in their knees. This study suggested that people with knee osteoarthritis who are bow-legged might particularly benefit from walking. The research offers the potential of an easy and free way to combat one of the most common culprits of knee pain among older adults. The findings represent a paradigm shift, said Dr. Grace Lowe, an assistant professor at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston and the lead author of the study. She said, "Everyone's always looking for some kind of drug. This highlights the importance and likelihood that interventions for osteoarthritis might be something different, including good old exercise." The research suggests that exercise could help manage osteoarthritis in other joints. She added, like in the hips, hands, and feet. Osteoarthritis, sometimes referred to as wear and tear arthritis, affects over 32.5 million adults in the United States and occurs when the joint cartilage breaks down and the underlying bone begins to change. The risk of developing the condition increases as you age, and around a third of the people over 60 have knee osteoarthritis. Many patients take medicines like ibuprofen or naproxen to treat the pain, which in large doses could lead to kidney issues and ulcers for some. Instead, they may be able to turn to exercise. For decades, health experts saw walking primarily as a way to boost cardiovascular health, said Dr. Elaine Husney, a rheumatologist at Cleveland Clinic, who was not involved in the study. In recent years, though, doctors have looked to low-impact workouts to treat conditions like depression, cognitive impairment, and mild osteoarthritis. But the new study shows that walking can also act as a preventative measure. Dr. Lowe suggests that people who are at higher risk of developing the condition may want to incorporate a regular walk into their routine. Dr. Lowe herself said that, based on her findings, she should walk more, as her mother has osteoarthritis. The study began in 2004 and documented participants' baseline knee pain using radiographs to assess their osteoarthritis. Researchers then asked the participants to document their exercise habits and review their symptoms at regular follow-up visits, asking how frequently their knees hurt. After 4 years, 37% of the study participants who did not walk for exercise, not including the occasional trip to the train or grocery store, developed new frequent knee pain compared with 26% who did walk. Of course, researchers cannot definitely say that walking staved off knee pain, and it did not appear to lessen existing pain. Self-assessments can be less accurate than fitness trackers or step counters, and the researchers did not track the distance or the frequency that people walked, nor did they recommend strategies for how and when people with osteoarthritis should incorporate walking into their exercise routines. Still, the results bolster what clinicians already understood about how to manage osteoarthritis. Consistent movement can help create muscle mass, strengthening ligaments around the joints that have osteoarthritis. Walking is a low-intensity, low-impact workout, allowing people to maintain the strength and flexibility that are critical for healthy joints. It's an intervention anyone can do. The doctor said, "You have no excuse. You can do it anywhere you are." Those who are already in pain should be careful not to overdo exercise. Walking long distances might exacerbate aches and pains in some patients with the severe arthritis, but for those with smaller amounts of arthritis, it's one of the best exercises you can do. Dr. El-Bayar, a sports medicine specialist at NYU, recommends that people start with a small, short walk, gradually building up distance over time. The goal of the exercise is to provide muscle support to an arthritic knee and to let the joints, tendons, and tissues become acclimated to the walking. He also suggested using supportive shoes, drinking plenty of water during a walk, and taking frequent rests if tired or if one is new to walking. After a long walk, icing the knee may also help prevent discomfort. While a stroll down the street can't repair cartilage or remedy existing pain, the exercise offers a compelling and accessible option for staving off the more intrusive aspects of osteoarthritis. Walking doesn't cost a cent. Our next article, plantar fasciitis is a real pain. This is from also the New York Times Well blog, and it is from November 30th, 2022, also written by Danny Blum. The pain starts when you wake up, a stab in your heel when you get out of bed, an ache when you put weight on your foot. The condition is persistent and common. At least 10% of people get it. Plantar fasciitis, an inflammation of the tight band of tissue on the bottom of your foot, can happen to anyone. But it occurs more frequently in people who are on their feet for long periods of time. Dr. Evelyn Tan from Northwestern Medicine says it's probably more common than most people think, noting that she's seen a resurgence of patients with the condition as more people have been returning to post-lockdown life. The condition can be agonizing, but it is generally temporary. The telltale signs of plantar fasciitis is pain at the bottom of the heel. That pain becomes especially pronounced after lengthy periods of inactivity. People with a condition feel their feet throb when they step out of bed after a night's sleep or when they get out of the car after a long drive. Doctors are not sure about the precise mechanisms that cause plantar fasciitis, but the condition is common among athletes and also in people who suddenly change their levels of physical activity, that like those who get back into working out after an injury or people leveling up miles as they train for a marathon. It's also common in people who sit at a desk for long periods of time. Even a small change in the amount of strain one puts on their foot can lead to plantar fasciitis. A common scenario is that you go to your in-law's house, you don't have slippers, and they have hardwood floors that you're walking on 4 to 5 days straight. Dr. Ayer, an associate professor of orthopedic surgery at Johns Hopkins, says no one is safe from plantar fasciitis. And if you've had plantar fasciitis before, you're more likely to develop the condition again in the future. But there are ways to reduce your risks. If you're increasing your level of exercise, build up gradually, and incorporate rest and stretching into your routine, especially stretching your hamstrings, calves, and feet. Even stretching your calf over a stair at work or at home can help add flexibility. Be sure to wear supportive, sturdy shoes, and if you walk a lot throughout the day, try not to wear the same pair of shoes 2 days in a row. If you have to wear a certain kind of shoe for work or school, change it up each day by adding a different insole to cushion your foot or repeatedly straining it in the same way. You'll want to dedicate your workout shoes to only exercise and replace them before they get worn out. For runners, that means getting a new pair after 6 months or 300 miles. How do you treat plantar fasciitis? Home remedies can be helpful for treating the condition early on. Some patients turn to soft gel cups that they wear in the heel of their shoes. These are available at drugstores. Others put a water bottle in the freezer, then roll it across their feet to relieve pain. Avoid walking barefoot around on hard surfaces. Avoiding walking barefoot around on hard surfaces can also help. Opt for a slipper or a house shoe instead. Stretching is the mainstay treatment. Dr. Pandya says there's no magic pill or treatment. It's just stretch, rest, and ice. In more severe cases, though, when symptoms continue and the foot continues to bear repetitive stress, plantar fasciitis can become chronic, and the band of tissue at the bottom of your foot can degenerate. A doctor may recommend physical therapy, or may even place the patient in a boot or a cast. Very rarely, doctors may also prescribe a steroid injection. These are more complicated cases, and they can take months or even years to start healing. But people who spot their symptoms early can recover in a matter of weeks. It's important to listen to your body, doctors said, and to seek out a podiatrist or orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon if your foot pain persists for weeks. One shouldn't wake up every morning thinking, "My feet are killing me." And if you're looking for exercises for foot doming or what to do for plantar fasciitis, there are some good videos from podiatrists on YouTube if you have access to that. And that concludes our reading for today. You have been listening to the Healthy Living Podcast. This podcast was recorded in January 2023. If you have any questions or comments about the program, please call 210-829-4223. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Martha Etty. Thank you for listening, and I'll say goodbye from Al Radio.